The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Morning.
Morning,
brothers and sisters of Haston Baptist Church. It's my second time preaching here. As I was sitting on the pew, my heart was pounding. I asked myself why. You know, I have been a preacher. What's the word? Anointed or what? Whatever. Oh, but never mind. I graduated from my Bible school or seminary in 1983, and after that I started preaching. I think I have been preaching more than hundreds of sermons. I was pounding. I think maybe because English is not my mother language. I think I have a kind of a fear that sometimes I will go blank. You know what I mean? Go blank. That means I find no words, you know, to share. So please pray for me. Okay. Okay. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. This is a lovely day. Spring, I think, has come, and winter is going away. And we see the flower is starting coming out. We just pray that, Lord, you will give us a good day, not only today, not the days ahead. And at this time, I also pray for Rose. She is so dear to us. Lord, have mercy on her and her family. I know that your provision is so multiple, so plenty. Lord, just have your mercy upon this family. So we commit this time into your hand and ask that you will be with us today, especially this time of preaching, that the Spirit will uphold me and also will open our hearts to receive your word. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The text I'm going to preach is Psalm 23. It is a very well-known verse, or a very well-known psalm. I think some of you may also be able to recite them, just by heart. Anyway, I think there is one point in the first verse. I need to point out, or I need to share with you. Okay, if you have a Bible, please turn to Psalm 23, and then I want to read it out. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I remember I preached in this, you know, church last time is a year ago, or 2023. Last time when I was preaching, I focused on the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd." I listed 3 points. The Lord is my shepherd is a confession of faith. And then, the Lord is my shepherd is that faith is inseparable. And then the third point, the Lord is my shepherd, that is faith unbreakable. And today I want to share, you know, the second part of the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Or some version put it this way, I shall not be in want. Oh, I think it's the same meaning. So the second part of the verse talks about I do not need anything. I lack nothing. So today I want to focus on this point. I lack nothing. What does it mean? What does it mean by I lack nothing? I think in our lives, we all lack something. Okay, this way. If you ask Samuel, do you need anything? I tell you yes, I do. As you know, I'm getting older and older, I need flexibility. You know what is flexibility? That means my bones is getting tight and hard. You know, it's hard to move around as young as I was young. If you ask me, Samuel, what are you lacking? Maybe speaking English, kind of a self-confidence. I think everyone in our lives, we do lack something in different, you know, age stage. Some will find that they may lack of self-esteem. Some may find that they may lack of patience, you know, they are hot-tempered people. Some may find that they will lack some kind of or health. Or some may lack company, you know, they will find it, they are lonely. In the Bible, I can find that three illustrations, you know. You know what Moses lacked? When in the book of Exodus, when God called Moses to lead the people out of Egypt, and eventually Moses declined or refused the calling of God. You know, what was his excuse? I was not good in speaking, like me. I'm not good in speaking. So Moses told the Lord that he was slow in tongue. He was not eloquent. But the Lord said, no, you have to go. So Moses went, lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. Second illustration from the Bible, very famous person, Solomon. You know Solomon, King Solomon. When he has when he has become king, in a dream, the Lord asked him, you know, now you are the king over Israel. What do you want? I can give you. And you know what Solomon's answer? Solomon told the Lord, I lack wisdom. I want to have wisdom to rule over the people of Israel. This is our people, my people. Even Solomon, when the Lord asked him, Well, I want to give you something. Tell me what you need. What do you lack? Something like this. Okay. So Solomon told the Lord he needs wisdom because he was lacking wisdom. When Jesus, before his trial and crucifixion, Jesus asked, you know, Jesus prayed, it's in the book of John, chapter 17. Jesus prayed to the Lord, pray for his disciples, you know, before his crucifixion. And what Jesus was praying to the Lord, asking for what? For his people, for his disciples. You know, the mutual love. That in the book of John 17, he asked the Lord several times that, Lord, I pray for my disciples. I pray that they will love each other. I think this is the most important thing in the mind of Jesus at that time, that, you know, after his crucifixion, after he was nailed to the cross, his disciples will go astray. That means he will scatter. And the only thing that can bring them back and have the mission for Christ is that they can have love, that they will love each other, they will uphold each other, they will focus, you know, on the mission. So when we talk about the Lord is my shepherd, as we come back, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. Ask yourself, is it really you don't need anything, you don't lack anything in your life or in your walk of spiritual walk? The text here said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I don't think the psalmist, that means the David, was talking about, you know, I shall not lack concerning or in relationship to our daily living. I don't think the answer lacking, you know, is to that lacking materially, okay, or just for our daily living. Well, I don't think this is the answer. Although many people, including many preachers, will point out, you know, God is good, God is kind, God is a God of provision, God provides everything, God protects. This is all correct. I don't think this is incorrect. But I'm asking this particular verse, when the psalmist, King David, wrote the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. The lack, you know, this particular meaning, what is he implying? Is it just, you know, I shall not lack our daily, a shortage or insufficiency? No, I don't think so. So let's go back, move on to try to understand what the lack, you know, the meaning for that. Before I try to explain it to you, I want to go through three basic principles of understanding the Bible. Firstly, we have to find the answer from the context. Yeah, the context. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, this will link to the first sentence. The Lord is my shepherd. Okay. And then second principle, basic principle, is to find answer immediately before or after the context. For example, later I will try to explain it in the whole psalm. And then the third basic principle is from a general understanding of the Bible. Okay, so we move on and we try the first basic principle. If we say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There is nothing telling us that we are lacking materially or just for our daily life or something like that. If I put another word or substitute a word in my first sentence, the Lord is my shepherd. If I put it this way, the Lord is my best shepherd. I shall not lack another shepherd to replace my shepherd. If I put it this way, another way, the Lord is my only shepherd. I shall not lack another shepherd. I want to make it this way and try to explore, the understanding about this verse. If I say, that I have a very nice partner, Mimi is sitting there. If I say, Mimi is my wife. Okay, this is correct. If I say, Mimi is my best wife. I don't need another wife. Mimi is my only wife. I don't lack any woman to replace Mimi as my wife. If I put it this way, I think it's more clear or clearer to understand this verse. If I say the Lord is my best or the only shepherd, I do not need another shepherd. Okay? If I say the Lord is my best shepherd, the only shepherd, I do not lack or I in no want to find another shepherd, another Lord to replace the one I put my faith into. Okay? So, if I want to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. In the text, in just the text, I put it this way, I think it's clearer than, to say I need things, or my life, or materially, or something like that. Okay. Oh, this is the first basic principle. And the second principle, to find this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I put it in the whole context of the Psalm 23. We can try, okay? If you have Bible, just follow me. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Second verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Second verse. The second verse is following the first verse. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He makes me lie down is the focus on the second verse. It's talking about relationship. Yeah. He makes me lie down in green pastures is secondary. The main point is he makes me lie down. That means he and I, this kind of intimate relationship. So in the background, green pastures, or background, quiet waters. He leads me beside quiet waters. All the way in Psalm 23 is telling about close relationships. He makes me lie down, he leads me beside, and then he refreshes my soul, he guides me along. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. This is the focal point or the important point. You are with me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head. And then surely your goodness and love will follow me all days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So from the whole context, from the whole psalm, we don't see there is implication explicitly or implicitly that it's talking about our daily need. Okay, it's all the Psalm 23 is talking about close relationship, intimate relationship. And then thirdly, from the general principle or basic principle of the Bible, it talks about a caring God, a God of provision. This is correct. But More than that, or we go into depth about, you know, for that. The general principle talk about the spiritual realm and then also the secular realm. Okay, because we are secular, because we have faith, we have two dimensions. One is the physical realm. Yeah, the other one, and then the other one is the spiritual realm. I just want to illustrate with the Lord's Prayer. We all know the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the first part of the Lord's Supper, Lord's Prayer. Okay, yeah, addressing to our belief, yeah, toward God, and then the second part of the Lord's Prayer: give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So the second part of the Lord's Prayer is addressing the need of ourselves. Okay. So my question is, can these two reverse? That means our second need goes before the spiritual or addressing to God. You know what I mean? So that means give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Put it the first. And then go back. Secondly, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just reverse it. Does it make sense? I don't think it makes sense. No. Yeah, it makes sense if we address God first, right? And then, after that, it makes sense our need, okay? So we adore God, we worship God first, and then come back to our need, okay? It makes sense. Therefore, if we say that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not lack. That means we cannot reverse the order. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, 33, there is an echo to the Lord's prayer. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That means we are taught that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That means we have to address to God first and then address to our need second. So what is primary? What is secondary? I think this is the basic principle of the Bible. And therefore, I make a conclusion. My answer to that first verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. That means if we confess that the Lord is my shepherd, it's talking about relationships, intimate relationship, our devotion, our faith, our everything is towards God, not for us. Okay. So I think the Lord is our Lord, and of course, away from him, he will provide. Okay. I want to make an illustration here. There is a father has a 4 years old son. When his son was 4 years old, he took the son to the playground to play. And in the playground, some of his neighbor friends also playing. Some of them have a bicycle, you know, riding on the playground. And his son watched them riding bicycle. He just stared at them. And the father discovered, well, my son lack or need a bicycle. So after that, he bought his son a bicycle, 4 years old. And then after that, he took the son out to the playground, and his son can play with other children. Okay. When this son was 14 years old, the father found out that his school result was not very appealing or not very good, especially mathematics. And he asked his son, "Well, what can I help? You know, I see that your mathematics is going down, you know, the result is going down." And the son said, "Yeah, well, Dad, I have difficulty with my mathematics, really." The father said, "Well, if I find a tutor for you, all right?" The son said, "Okay." So the father found him a tutor, not working very good. A second tutor, no, not very good. The third one, okay. Slowly, his son's mathematics is going up because this tutor spent a lot of time, extra time, or to play with him, or just to get him to find interest, or to find interest or skill to do the mathematics. Okay, the son, the mathematics result is going up. No. And the father was happy, and the son was happy. And the son, 24 years old, one day the father found out he was at home, his son was at home. Well, the son shouldn't be at home at this time because it's a Valentine evening. No, his son has a girlfriend, but why this evening his son stays home and not going out? He talked to the son. And the son said, "Well, my girlfriend and I broke up recently." Well, too sad. And the father thought about that. And then a couple of weeks later, the father invited a church member. The whole family came. And there's a girl, quite nice. So I think this purposely the father wants to get his son another girlfriend. Yes, after that, several occasions, this girl and his son start friendship and dating, and then afterwards courtship, you know, and after several years, you know, they got married. And the son was 34 years old. His father visited him and asked him, "Well, son, you have your family, good family, you have your work, good job, you know. Tell me, you need anything?" And the father was 64 years old, about time to retire. And the son sat close to him and told him, "Dad, I remember when I was 4, I do not have a bicycle, you bought me one. When I was 14 years old, my school result was not good, but you hired several tutors for me and my math goes up. And when I was 24, I was down, very down, because my girlfriend and I broke up, but you find me a girlfriend and now we have a family. Well, Dad, you are my dad. I don't need anything now. I don't feel I lack anything. You are my dad." So, what is primary? What is secondary? The son find it very satisfactory because he has his father. His father will take care of him, everything. Now, his son is now a father of, you know, of his two sons. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." If the Lord is my shepherd, of course, I lack nothing. The most important thing is what is primary, what is secondary. If I say that the Lord is my best and the Lord is my only shepherd, of course, definitely, we do not lack anything. There is a hymn, when I was young, I came across this hymn himself. It touched my heart very much. And this hymn we are about to sing after the sermon. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is His word. Once His gift I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all forever, Jesus will I sing. Everything in Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Are we lacking anything? Besides, you know, our confession. Before I close my sermon, I want to give you a true story. I hope some of you still remember last year when I first preached here. Not preaching here. I came up here for prayer because February in 2023. No, 24 is last year. Because I lived in Nostal, I received a prayer request, urgent prayer request, that my neighbor in Nostal sent me a text, asked me for urgent prayer, that his brother in Hong Kong was in Shenzhen on a beach. He was playing stand-up pedal board, but he was exhausting and he fell into the water, the sea, and then he was drifting away, you know. I pray for him because I don't know whether he will be alive or go to the ocean and then disappear. Of course, the ending of the story was a happy ending because finally, after a day, he was found in Hong Kong, in a fishing village, you know, some people rescued him. But I shared this, you know, in my prayer meeting in the Sunday service, you know, asking brothers and sisters to pray for him. Today I use this real story to share to conclude my preaching. Yeah. When you were this man playing, standing up, padding board, you were in the water in the afternoon, and no matter how hard, you could not get back to land. You were struggling in the water and the sea. What's your response? When you were in the sea and you try all your method and you can't to connect back to your loved ones. You were in the sea, you have no way to talk to your wife or your children. You were drifting away and away. What's your response? When you were in the sea and the sky is getting darker and darker, dimmer and dimmer, slowly you can't see anything. You were in the sea, drifting. What's your response? When you were in the sea and you find that the water, the sea water, is getting colder and colder, what will you react? When you were in the sea, all in your mind is your home, your family, your car, your TV, your bedroom, your kitchen, your garden, your business, like a picture, you know, fading away, fading away, fading away. And you can not find which is east, which is south, which is west, which is north. When you were in the sea, you feel tired, exhausted. What can uphold you? What can, or who can give you, you know, the last support? I think we all have difficult situations in life, right? We have some good days, we have some bad days, we have some happy days, some sad days. We all face different struggles. Some struggles are severe, they are very tough. Some are light, some are easy. Everyone, I think, we all face different struggles in our life. If we say the Lord is my shepherd, if we say the Lord is my best shepherd, if we say the Lord is the only shepherd, I shall not lack. I do not need to find another one. What does this mean to you? Psalm 16, verse 2, it says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good things. I repeat. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good things. Psalm 16, 2. My conclusion is that if we confess that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Make it real. I shall not lack another one. Another Lord, another idol to replace the Lord, I confess. Because I do not lack anything outside from him. You are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good things. Let's pray.